service today, we do have a fellowship luncheon in our fellowship hall, which is behind me, and everyone is invited. We would be glad, even for our visitors, an opportunity to get to know you better, and so we hope you'll be able to stay and share in that luncheon with us. Please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 63 for our Old Testament lesson.
Disciples said to him, "Lord,
Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let's pray again. Lord, we do ask that you would come to us now, that you would teach us to pray, that you would help us to know you to whom we pray, that our prayers would be from our hearts, that our prayers would change our lives, that our prayers would be used of you to extend your kingdom and glorify your name. Lord, teach us to pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. In 1995, sociologist David Blankenhorn wrote a book entitled Fatherless America, Confronting Our Most Urgent Social Problem, in which he expressed his concern that in increasing numbers of American families, the father was absent. And in those families where the father was physically present, in increasing numbers of those families, the father was either emotionally distant or weak and not taking any kind of real leadership role or even abusive to his wife and to his children. Now, if that has in any way been your experience, you may find it hard to grasp what Jesus is teaching when he teaches us to pray, saying, Father. But what I hope you will realize is that what Blankenhorn describes as the growing fatherhood experience in America is not what fathers are meant to be. And if you have suffered the absence of a father, an abusive father, then even in your pain you would recognize that that pain itself is telling you that that's not what fathers are meant to be. As David says in Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Now it is important to note that Jesus teaches this so-called Lord's Prayer on at least two different occasions. During the Sermon on the Mount in Galilee at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, we find this in Matthew chapter 6. And here in our text, near the end of his ministry, as he is traveling to Jerusalem to die. In each case, he is teaching his disciples how to pray. This prayer is not a universal prayer for all of mankind. This is a prayer for Jesus' disciples. We need to remember that. Indeed, it would more appropriately be entitled the disciples' prayer. It is the disciple who said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And so they do ask Jesus to teach them to pray. Now, it was in those days not uncommon for a rabbi to teach the students that followed him their own prayer in order to give them a certain cohesion as as students following one rabbi in order to distinguish them from the other rabbinical students following other rabbis, and to, in a sense, incorporate in that prayer the most important things that rabbi was emphasizing in his teaching. Now, as we look carefully at this prayer in the coming weeks, the thing that we wish to focus on today is this God to whom Jesus directs us to pray and how we are to think of Him. And Jesus does this with one word: Father. Now, when the disciples found Jesus praying and asked to be taught to pray, Jesus was praying to Yahweh, the God of Israel, the sovereign creator, the one to that no one might see and live. And yet Jesus instructs his disciples to pray, Father. Now, in the Old Testament, God is referred to as Father only 14 times, and always in a generalized sense of the Father of the nation as a whole, never of an individual. And indeed, in our text from Isaiah, God is called our Father 3 times as the Lord of the nation, the one to whom they seek from whom they seek help and rescue. Now, it is true that early in his ministry in Matthew 6, that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. But now, at the end of his ministry, as Jesus is heading to Jerusalem to die, as his disciples still don't understand what's going on, they don't understand that he's going to die, but there is a certain increase in tension. They notice that Jesus is focusing more and more upon them. They notice that the opposition from the Pharisees is rising and intensifying. It is at this time, as when they ask him to teach them to pray, that Jesus speaks not the more generalized Our Father, but the more intimate Father. So we want to ask ourselves, in teaching us to pray, Father, what is it that Jesus is teaching his disciples? What is he teaching us about the God to whom we pray? This is how Jesus prayed. Jesus in the Gospels refers to God as his Father 60 times. The only prayer that Jesus does not begin, Father, is the cry of dereliction from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet, even at the cross, Jesus' opening words were, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And his closing words, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus is teaching them to pray as he prayed. What does this tell us about God? First of all, that God is personal. God is personal. He is a person. He's not a force. He's not a power. He's not a life energy that somehow seeps through all of creation. He is not the unmoved mover, the first cause, the indifferent creator. He is a person who knows us. As this psalm, as David said in Psalm 103, he knows our frame. And he is the God who has revealed himself through Jesus Christ. In John 1:18, the Bible says, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. John 14:8, Philip, one of his disciples, said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus said to him, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He knows us and He can be known, for Jesus has revealed Him to us. God is not just some force out there. He is personal. But secondly, in calling to God as Father, that tells us that God is love. As David said in Psalm 103, again, as a father has compassion on his children, so God has compassion upon those who fear Him. And this is exactly what the Apostle John tells us in 1 John 4:8. God is love. He goes on in 1 John 4:9 and 10 to describe this love. He says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." His love is personal, directed to us through Jesus. Through Jesus. This is how love is shown to us. He sent His Son. His very own Son. And the most famous of verses, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This love of God the Father for us through the sending of His Son is embraced by us through faith. And through this faith, we become children of God. Not by origin, but by adoption. That's what in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12, we read that to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those who believe in Jesus are given the right, we're given the adoption papers. We've been brought into God's family. In Galatians 4:6, the Apostle Paul says, "Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." That's why only a true believer, only a true disciple can call upon God as Father. And you do believe that Jesus died for your sins. That means that God is your Father. He is personal. He is loving. You see, fathers love their children when fathers are the way fathers are meant to be. God is love. Thirdly, that means that God is your provider. In Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus in verse 11 says, Matthew 7:11, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" Jesus is saying that your Father in heaven will give you what you need. You need only ask. Ask and will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. James chapter 1, verse 17, we read, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." God doesn't change. He provides good gifts to His children. He provides for his children. Fathers provide for their families and for their children. But again, the basis for God's provision is that he has given his son. And so in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, we read these words. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Graciously give us all things, all that we need. Of course, our greatest need is for salvation through Jesus, but with Jesus, he's graciously given us all things. Fathers, provide for their children. To call upon God as Father recognizes that this God who is personal, who is love, provides for his children. He provides for you who believe. It also tells us that God is your protector. Fathers protect their families. They protect their children in John chapter 10. Verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. No one is able to snatch you out of the Father's hand. The Father who is the Supreme Lord, who is Almighty God, is the Father who protects his children, and no one can snatch you out of his hand. No matter what circumstances you may face, no matter what trials, and certainly my family, it feels like we've been run through the ringer these past 2 weeks, but we know that we are in our Father's hands, that he is protecting us. He is taking care of us. God is your protector for you to call upon him as Father. And finally, God is your partner and your disciplinarian. Remember in Psalm 103, it says, he remembers we are dust. And in Luke 15, where we have the parable of the prodigal son, remember, the son says, Dad, I wish you were dead. I want my half of the inheritance now. And so the father gives him half the inheritance. And he goes and he wastes it in profligate living. He sins horribly. And finally, he is in such a desperate state, he comes to his senses and sees how he has sinned, not only against his father, but against God. And he goes home. And as he approaches home, the father is looking for him. The father comes running to him. And what comes out of the son's mouth? Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. So does the father say, get away from me? No, he welcomes him and gives him his robe and throws him a banquet. He forgives us. Embraces him back into the fold. That's what God does for us in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin, that is Jesus, to become sin for us by bearing it on the cross, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We might be the royal children of God and recognize how God needs to bring us to our senses, as the one son in the parable had to be brought to his senses. And so in Hebrews 12, chapter 6, verse 6, we read, the Lord disciplines the one he loves, chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, for what son is there whom the Father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides, as we had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them, shall we not be much more subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time to see best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Later yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Life is not always easy. God does discipline his children. He disciplines us to bring us back to himself, that he might forgive us through his Son. Fathers forgive their children in their love. They discipline their children that they may seek true forgiveness, reconciliation, and love. God forgives and disciplines. God the Father is personal. God the Father is love and embraces as his children all who believe in him. God the Father is a for his children through Jesus. God the Father is the protector for his children through Jesus. God the Father disciplines and forgives his children through Jesus. Is this the God to whom you pray? Or have you gotten distracted? Have you come to see God as, oh, more impersonal, or just someone out there? Does he really care for me? Not seeing that he cares and that he loves and that he provides and that he protects. Christian friend, God has given this prayer to you to bring you back to an awareness of God. God, your Father, is his adopted sons and daughters through Jesus. He has given this form of prayer so that we might know to whom we pray. Indeed, that we might be encouraged to pray to such a God, so personal and loving, providing and protecting and forgiving. Perhaps you've not come to the point of putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God sends his Son Jesus so that we might be forgiven, that we might be sons and daughters of the living God. God is personal. His love is offered to you in Jesus. You can know the God who cares for you by putting your trust in Jesus. It is through Jesus that God loves, that God provides, that God protects. And it is Jesus who left his people the Lord's table. You see, this is a family table. The Lord's Supper is a family meal. No matter what your personal circumstances may seem to be at the moment, in this life, through Jesus, you can come to the table of the Lord. You can know that you belong to God's family. And you can be reminded that the personal, loving God cares for you in regard to you as members of this family. You may not have a father on this earth, or your father may not have been what a father ought to be. But you can have a real father, a true father. And you can belong to a real family, a true family, a loving family, God's family, through Jesus Christ. It is the privilege bundle you who believe to call upon God as Father. Amen. Lord Jesus, how amazing it is that we are not just throwing out requests to an indifferent, impersonal world, some force or power, but that we pray to your Father, who has become our Father because of what you've done for us, to make us sons and daughters of the living God. Help us to pray, knowing this God to whom we pray, so personal, so loving, he knows it, and we can know him. He provides and he protects. He forgives, and sometimes he disciplines, because he cares, because he does love. And so we offer this prayer, even now, just as you taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive.